Have you ever played the game Would You Rather, where you are presented with two different options? One is basically the proverbial rock, and the other is a hard place, and you have to decide which one you would choose. Well, the reality is we are presented with this all the time in real life, and it has a huge bearing on whether we decide that we are going to change some things in our lives or we're not.
If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you'll also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the Lifescape 3 podcast. I am delighted that you are here. And right at the very beginning, I want to invite you to share this podcast with at least three friends. Not only will you open the door for them to be able to have some insights and encouragement for their life, but this is also a great way to make sure that you always have a conversation starter that is meaningful. That you're able to springboard from and say, hey, did you listen to that last episode? What did you think about that? Did that speak to you in your life? Maybe it didn't. Okay. Is that something you think you can file away for future use? Or is there something that you can look back in your life and go, yeah, I wish I would have known that. And now that is going to be something that helps me in the future. I appreciate your ratings and your reviews as well. Those are encouraging to me, and they also help other people to know that this podcast is worth their time. And one more super quick reminder before we get into the meat of today's episode, and that is I am a speaker. I am booking speaking engagements for 2026, and I would love to come and share with your women, with your parents, and even with your youth. You can find out all about my speaking on the website, stephaniepresents.com. All right, now let's dive into today's episode. We are continuing this mini-series on change. And we have talked about the three harmful ideas about change that are commonplace but very destructive. And last week, we talked about the number one obstacle to change. If you haven't had a chance to listen to those episodes, I encourage you to go back and do that. Today, we are going to talk about change, and I'm going to do something a little differently. I'm going to give you kind of some broad overview insights, but then I'm going to apply this to a very specific topic that is of great concern to me right now as I look at what is happening, especially with our young girls to our young women here in our culture, here in the United States. And I think this is also happening in other places around the world. So if you are listening from another country, and I am delighted to know that that is the case, because of the reports that I'm able to get back about where this podcast airs. So welcome. This isn't just a value if you reside in the United States, because it may be something that is happening in your country as well. And I'm going to talk about this aspect of change and specifically how it relates to the issue of anxiety that definitely is also helping, is also happening, not helping, definitely not helping. We don't want to confuse that happening in the male population, but especially seems to be targeting our girls and our young women. And I want to ask the question, you know, are we actually fostering anxiety because of how much we are empathizing with it and what we are leaving off the table? So this is one of those episodes that really requires that you listen with the understanding to not add to what I'm saying, to listen for the nuance, to pay attention to the entire content, because I certainly do not want on this very important subject to be misunderstood or for you to walk away with a an idea about anxiety that is not at all what I am trying to convey. So I will do my best to be an excellent communicator, and I ask you to do your best to be an attentive listener. The principles that I'm going to talk about specifically as it relates to anxiety don't just relate to anxiety. These principles relate to a lot of other things. And so you might think, well, I don't see this application in my life in terms of anxiety, but maybe there's another area in your life where you can see the application of these insights. One of the ideas that we've heard for a very long time is that a person will change when the pain of not changing becomes greater than the pain of changing. That can be a little confusing. So let's look at that another way. Basically, it's like, okay, maybe where I am is painful, but it is more painful than the change that the pain that's going to come with change. Because let's just face it, most of the time, change is not easy. And so we can start thinking that, well, when we get to the point that something becomes painful enough, then woohoo, all of a sudden that's going to motivate us to change. That is not the case. While it is true that oftentimes people do get motivated by pain, it's just as true that some people stay stuck in pain. And not just because they don't have the ability to change. You know, when we start thinking that we have to reach a certain point, a certain level of pain before we begin to change, we really move ourselves from being in the driver's seat of our life into the back seat. We become a passenger rather than someone who can direct our lives. Or, changing analogies, we become receivers on the football field of life rather than the quarterback. We begin to approach life with this mindset that we're going to wait for something to happen within us. We're going to wait for this magic motivation to show up rather than something that we choose to cause. You know, one reason we need to be people who live from an empowerment mindset is that when we do this, it opens us to think creatively, to be solution-minded, and to use and develop our skill set. And the more that we see ourselves as being on the receiving end of life, the more that we think of ourselves kind of being in the back seat of life, the more afraid of life that we become, because it's like, what's life going to throw at us? Now, I have lived enough years. Okay, I've lived enough decades to know life does throw things at us that we never saw coming. Life throws things at us that we didn't have any way to be prepared for. But this is not a matter of indulging in the false narrative that everything that happens to us is the result of how we show up in life. That's just nonsense. But the more that we have this mindset that we're just at the beck and call of life and we don't really live from an empowerment mindset, the more fearful we will be of taking risks, of reaching out, of developing our skills. And it's fascinating and also very tragic that the less resourceful we become, the less resourceful that we feel, the less capable that we feel, the more demanding we become. See, if I want something and I can't provide it for myself, then I'm going to start looking for others to provide it for me or to give it to me. And this can move from asking to begging to demanding. And it can look like covert manipulation of passive aggressive behavior, or it can look like the overt behavior of narcissism. Either way, whether it's passive aggressive behavior or it's narcissistic behavior, that person is positioned as a bystander, a victim, a receiver, rather than a quarterback of their life. And And I especially can see this happening when it comes to this issue of anxiety. And here's why. We can ignore that pain isn't always a motivator to change because pain can have a payoff. That's right. Pain can have a payoff. I'm not saying it does. I'm saying it can. You see, unresolved and unhealed pain can migrate from being an experience or experiences that we have to our identity. Years ago, I had to courageously ask myself this question. Stephanie, who would you be without your pain? And I still sometimes check in with myself by asking myself that question. Stephanie, is there pain? Is there hurt? Is there something here that you're kind of holding on to because you're afraid of who you'll be without it? Or also because you are afraid of who others will ask you to be without it. You see, because our identity directs our expectations. All of our expectations come out of our identity. And so to heal from pain requires both empathy and truth. Yes, we absolutely need compassion, but we need more than compassion. We need a way to move forward, not just an opportunity to replay the past. And what I have been observing has been happening in our culture, especially with our girls and our young women. I would say anywhere between the ages of 11 and 31. What I'm watching happening is that we are bringing a lot of empathy to this issue of anxiety, but we are not also bringing truth to it. And any time that we only bring empathy, we will end up hurting or harming, incapacitating a person. You know, if I go into my doctor's office and I have fallen and I've broken my bone, or maybe it's not something that drastic. Maybe it's that I went in, I had a cut and it looks like it's getting infected. Do I want that attending medical personnel to have empathy with me? Of course I want them to. I don't want them to just look at my arm and go, well, suck it up, lady. And what are you doing? Taking up our time. I mean, no, I don't want that. I want them to say, oh, that looks like a nasty cut. Here, let's get that cleaned out. But I want them to do more than just sit there and empathize with me about it. Gosh, that just looks really painful. Wow, I bet that hurt. You want to tell me about that? Oh, how about you tell me about that again? Because maybe you left out a few details. And in the meantime, you know, my arm is just sitting there and it's not getting at all better. So I want that empathy, but I also want them to do something. I mean, I want them to clean it out. Maybe it needs stitches. Maybe it needs medication. Maybe it needs surgery. Because I want truth to be faced. I want the truth that if you don't clean this out, if we don't put in these stitches, if we don't do surgery, if we don't give you this medication, then it's going to get infected and it's going to get worse. And pretty soon you're going to have a whole lot more than an infected cut to deal with. You are going to have potentially a life-threatening injury to deal with. In the same way, sometimes what we can be tempted to do when people come to us with their emotional cuts, with their emotional wounds, we can only bring our empathy and we can sit with them and we can be present and we can help them process and we can ask them to express, you know, why they are feeling the way that they are. And all of these kinds of things. And yes, we need to do this. But if we don't also bring the truth that healing is possible, we are not doing them any favors whatsoever. No matter how well-intentioned we are, it will not turn out well for them. And I especially see this happening on this issue of anxiety with our women. It has become the norm to say, I have significant issues with anxiety. Now, please, please, please hear me on this. I am not sitting here saying, well, if you're a mature person, you won't have any struggle with anxiety. That's just ridiculous. Do I have struggles with anxiety? Yes. But there is a difference between something being a situational or even a seasonal part of our life and something that becomes our identity. All of us are going to have different struggles. And all of us will have some things that will pull more to become our identity than others. But as we bring our empathy for anxiety, we need to bring truth as well. Because it is not healthy, it is not mature to live in a constant state of anxiety as if there's nothing that a person can do to address that. We don't want to teach our women and our young girls to live in this disempowered mindset when it comes to their own thoughts and their own feelings, while we expect them to live empowered when it comes to their careers and their relationship and their body image and all of those other aspects of life. We can't ask a person to say, oh, well, over here, then live as if you are hopeless and you just can't do anything about this part of your life. But oh, over here, oh, you've got all kinds of choices and we want to see you make really good, healthy ones. We need to have congruency in the messages that we send. And one of those messages is anxiety is a real issue. And for different people, it requires different ways of addressing that. But it is not an issue that positions you as a helpless victim that you can do nothing about. And you're not just at the whims of life as to how you show up and what you do when anxious thoughts and anxious feelings come rolling into your mind, come rolling into your body. We don't give up the power of agency. We don't give up our abilities to take captive our thought, which is what the scripture tells us to do and what the Holy Spirit empowers us to do, simply because something has garnered national or international attention and we recognize that it is it's an issue that many people are struggling with. You know, just because something is normal doesn't make it healthy. It doesn't mean that it is an ongoing part of life. There is a difference between a cultural norm and what is normal in a way of healthy development. It is normal and healthy for most one-year-olds to be walking. That is a biological reality. It is not normal, even though it may have become the pattern, the prevailing pattern. It is not normal for our young girls and our young women to live in an ongoing state of anxiety that destroys or diminishes their life in an ongoing way, as if it's just a matter of course that has to be accepted. You know, I feel for the young woman today, whether she's 12 or she's 22, or she's 32, that is surrounded by other women and girls and basically says, you know what? Yes, I have moments of anxiety. Yes, there might even be a particular situation in my life right now that is causing anxiety, but I don't live as if my whole life is consumed with anxiety. I feel for that person. because I think that she stands a very good chance as being seen as abnormal, as being, well, what's wrong with you? Because we have brought so much empathy to this topic, but I don't think we've done a good job of bringing the counterbalance of truth. And so we are ending up facilitating, creating an expectation of anxiety, and that's normal. And if you don't experience that, well, then what's wrong with you? And we need to really look at the message that we are sending on this topic, because again, living in a mindset of disempowerment, where I'm just on the helpless receiving end of life and I don't have agency, I don't have power, I don't have the ability to choose what thoughts I'm going to dwell on and what I'm going to hold on to. And I don't have the ability to direct my actions and my activities that can then also impact my emotions. That is a horrible message that we are sending to our young women. We don't have to wait until there's intense pain before we decide to change things in our life. We can be motivated by joy. We can be motivated by a sense of the benefits that we want to experience and that we want others to experience. We can be motivated by love. We can be motivated by a desire for success. We don't have to only think that change has to have this huge pain underneath it before we get motivated to do something differently in our lives. So if you are someone who has been struggling with anxiety, I am here with tons of empathy for you. There is no shame. There's no condemnation. There is no judgment here. I am also here with truth. I'm here with both empathy in one hand and truth in the other. And the truth is that you do not have to accept ongoing, constant, debilitating anxiety as the way you have to live. Change is possible, and you don't have to wait until you hit some magical level of deep pain in order to change, for change to happen. You can begin that process today. Well, my friend, that is going to wrap up today's episode. And again, today I'm asking you to be courageously honest about the examination of your own heart, your own beliefs. And I have been courageous to be able to speak to this topic because I recognize there's a high risk of being misunderstood or mischaracterized. And I so don't want to do that. But I do want you to live with the impact you have the capacity to live. I want you to be spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart. That's what this Life's Key 3 is all about. And I know that the only way to do that is when you live from a place of owning your life. And obviously, as a Christian, I believe that is, in a way, under the lordship of Christ. And then it is also choosing to live from a place where change is possible, and you don't have to wait until there's intense pain to motivate you to change in whatever area of life that is needed. I want to see you make all the changes that you want to make and that you need to make, just as I am working on making in my life. Why? Because it's absolutely true, you have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.